I send out that word this week, I truly believe. I often say, Lord, please let this not be me who's writing down, because I've told you this. I sit down in my quiet time and I'll pray and maybe I'll sing, or I don't know, I might mix it up a bit. But the very first thing I do before I even go into the word is I write down the voice of the Lord in words. I say the voice of the Lord. And I just start writing and the Lord speaks to me like that. And on Friday, or Thursday morning, I think it was, the Lord spoke to me about the weight of His glory. As I go into my quiet time, the Lord will give me a word or a topic or a theme. And I went and read up on the weight of His glory. It's called the Kabod, K-A-B-H-O-D, K-A-H-B-O-D in the Hebrew. Kabod. It means weightiness or heaviness. And I've spoken about this before. In those days, in Jesus' time, if you were wealthy, there was a weightiness about you, okay? It was a wealth weightiness. But with God, it's the fullness of His glory, His kabot, the weight of His glory, the fullness of everything that God is, and He's promised to pour it out here in the church. Amen? But He said, you've got to push in and take hold of it. So you and I need to take hold of it. Are you willing to take hold of it? Oh, I knew it. One amen. You don't understand. You've got to start thinking in the spiritual realm. Everything we do and everything we say has got a spiritual connotation. Remember the king that only hit the ground 3 times with his arrows. And for 3 years or 3 times he had victory and then no more victory. But if he did it 5 or 6 times, he would have had continual victory. Everything we do has got a spiritual connotation. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And what I'm going to preach about this morning, it's not something that pastors don't like to preach on. And I can see how happy you all are this morning about the topic. But I want to tell you that the very same principle applies. Everything in the Word of God has got a symbolic connotation and a spiritual value. So when I start talking about giving, it's because I want an increase. No. Amen. Thank you, Peter. I received it. No. No. It's not that. It's that I've seen a need or I believe there's a blessing that you're missing out on. Amen. So, I felt I need to preach on generosity. So, that title is the 4 types of biblical giving, but I could have called this sermon generosity. As I started preparing a sermon on generosity, I started researching the different types of giving, and I felt I cannot preach on generosity unless I've spoken to you about giving. And then I've got my notes here from a sermon that I preached in, I think it was February last year, in 2017, on how to reign financially. These notes are on tithing. Okay, how many of you can remember that sermon? For some of you, you took it to heart and it changed your life. It changed your life, okay? Because you need to understand that tithing redeems the balance. It redeemed Jesus Christ, is God's tithe, and He redeemed us. When we give the tenth, we redeem the rest. It frees the rest so that it can be blessed. So later on in the service, I will ask to hand these out. There's only 40 copies here. So I would ask that households share. It costs us money to print, so that's why you don't always get notes. We're trying to be careful with our finances in the church. As many of you will know, we've got a major problem in this city. There are many, many homeless people. Many people in the city sleep on the streets or in the shelters. There's a number of shelters in Krugersdorp. And you will know that on Sunday night, some of you would have been in church and there were some young ladies that came and they were absolutely distraught. Because the shelter called Tower of Life that some of you come from, and that's one of the reasons why Cindy and Langdon are moving, has said we're a shelter for men only, and that was the initial purpose, but they started taking in ladies. 2 weeks ago, they gave them notice. They said, no, we can only have men here. Why? Because there were problems. You can just imagine the problems. There's no privacy, number one. Number two is, and I had a meeting with the board of the Tower of Life. Okay, and they explained some of the other problems. Some of the ladies were going outside on the pavement and applying their trade. Okay, I don't need to describe what their trade is. That creates problems. Other ladies, they would go into the loo and then they say, yeah, but the men are peeping at us. Now, if you're running a shelter like that, you're held responsible for that. And, you know, I won't go into any more detail. Anyway, I know there's always two sides to a story. I know there's, and I've understood that. The people who run the shelter, Melody came and spoke here 2 years ago. They've got a heart for this thing. But nobody's perfect. I know there's challenges. I know the people in the shelter. Many of them come and speak to me. There's often a story behind the story. Okay? I'm being honest with you. Right? So as a pastor, I need to have a lot of discernment. And so do you. But it bugged me that people in our church that are attending this church are going to be thrown out on the street, particularly women. There's one young woman, 19 years old. I can guarantee you she didn't ask to be there. She might, and I don't say she's on drugs. I don't think she is. Even if she was on drugs, how many of you that have been on drugs or been an alcoholic or been in some kind of trouble wanted to get into that trouble? You can put up your hand. Oh, wanted to get into trouble. Did you really want to get into trouble, John? No. Okay. You don't ask for it, okay? But it happens. Okay. So while we can sit there and be self-righteous and say, yeah, but it's their own fault that they're there, how many people asked to be retrenched? I asked to be retrenched. Okay, I really did. I took a voluntary retrenchment, okay? Because I knew where the Lord was leading me. But how many people asked to be retrenched? And your wheels fall off just like that. Okay. So as a pastor, that gets to me. And it should get to you as a child of God. All right? These ladies were given 2 weeks' notice a week ago. So they got a week. All right? Thursday. All right, they don't have a week. It's a huge concern. After I met with the board, I sent out a WhatsApp message. And I said, can you help me? Sadly, I didn't have much of a response. Right. And then we've also got another ministry called Good Shepherd. That's a ministry where out of this church, we financially help people. We'll either do food packs. Sometimes we've paid school fees. We've done all sorts of things. Annette can tell you, she runs with a lot of that for us. We also, as part of that ministry, have this box here. I'm sure you can still hear me. This box, where I've asked and we've requested, and Conrad does the announcements every week, and we've asked that you bring non-perishable goods so that we can help to make more food packs up. See, we've got a challenge. The Word of God says, and there was not a need amongst them. That was talking about the church, okay? But we've got people who walk in here that aren't part of the church, and we need to be able to help them too. So generally, the stuff that comes out that box goes in that direction, but sometimes we also use it to add to the food packs that we're already buying out of the money that you put into the tithes and offerings, okay? But the sad thing is, and it's a real sad testimony, today I see there is a pack in here, and I want to thank you ever brought it because you picked up the heart. But basically, many Sundays, okay, now your faces are not smiling anymore. But as a pastor, it's a challenge for me because I realize that you're not understanding this, the four types of biblical giving. Okay. And we need to catch the vision. And I'm going to speak faster because I keep on watching the clock and Peter's going to give me a clap. I just wanted to show you that. Often it's empty. And it tells me that we haven't caught the vision. For those who have been bringing faithfully, great. And you know, I don't ever see people putting in it, which is a good thing. Because later on in the message, you'll understand that when you give to the poor, it's to be done in secret. Right, so I don't want to actually know who puts in there. We don't have an understanding, a proper understanding of the biblical concept of giving. And when the pastor starts speaking like that, people get upset. But it's tough, I have to. Right, so I'm going to speak about it. Before I carry on, I want to give credit to J.C. Duplantis, who I found a very good teaching from, and also Robert Morris, who's the source of a lot of the information in that message there. Not all of this came from me, but it's all in the Word of God. Right. What does the Bible say about giving? Oh, I just want to move this thing away because now it's a distraction for me. What does the Bible say about giving? The Bible describes, and you can say, no, there's more than four types, there's three types, there's seven types, whatever. But there are four major categories of giving. The first is the tithe. The first is the tithe, the tenth. Okay? Then you get the first fruits. Many years ago, Pastor Pierre Oosthuizen spoke about the first fruits. All right? Then you get almsgiving, and that's not my arm. Sometimes you give a hand and people want to take your arm, but it's not almsgiving. It's it's not that kind of almsgiving. It is it's just charitable giving. Okay, in some Bibles it talks about your charitable works, right? And then the final one is seed giving or offerings. So let me say it again: the tithe, first fruits, alms, and offerings, right? Or seed. Those are the four different types. Each has a specific motivation. Did you realize that each type of giving has got a specific motivation? Now, please don't switch off, because this is a little bit, I'm going to have to teach you a bit of the theory. But it will change your life. It'll bless you, right? Okay, and I must tell you right now that not all of this is going to benefit the church. So this is not just about the church, okay? It's about you. It's about you. It's about your life and your financial blessing. Who here has experienced the tough economic circumstances that we're in? Show me your hands. Lift up your hand, all of you. Come on. Who hasn't experienced it? Those are the people I need to talk to about their tithes. I'm just joking. All right. I'm trying to lighten the atmosphere. The problem is, as we see this thing taking hold and taking grip in our country, people are losing their jobs. They're not finding work. People are battling to come out of the month with their salary. Salaries have not necessarily gone up in line with inflation. Somebody told me of somebody in the church that got a 2% increase last year. In effect, that's a decrease, because inflation is moving at 5 or 6 or 7%. If you get 2%, you've gone backwards by 3%. Okay, any employer here who gives their staff less than inflation, I want to tell you, you're robbing your employees. Amen. I'm not hearing many amens this morning, okay? But okay, that's all right. Sometimes somebody said to me as I came in, they said, "You, Pastor, ons het 'n onderwyser gehad wat 'n rooi das gedra het. En die dag wat hy daai rooi das gedra het, was daar moeilikheid." So maybe that's what I need to be, moeilikheid this morning. All right. Each of these kind of giving is linked to a specific type of blessing. And if we get it wrong, we lose the blessing, church. And if you can understand that to this morning, you might say, but I've been tithing, or but I've been making seed offerings, or I've been giving offerings, or I've been helping the poor, but nothing seems to be changing about my finances. I want to tell you, if you can take hold of what I tell you this morning, everything will come into place. I read it, and it was a revelation even to me. So tithes, let's talk about tithes. The motivation behind tithes is obedience. The tithe. What is the tithe? Tithe means tenth. It's we give a tenth of our income. It must be first. When I teach on financial discipline, I say when you're drawing up your budget, you don't start with I must pay my rent, or I must pay my bond, and then I must pay my insurance, and then I must... No, you say I must give my... Not my tithe, God's tithe. Okay? Because everything we have comes from God. If you say it's not, I'll tell you you're wrong. Because if I can move, it means I can work. Who gives me the ability to move? God. When God created us, He breathed His spirit. He breathed life into man. God gave us the ability to live and move and have our being in Him. So my ability to earn an income is God. Everything I have comes from Him. So He said, I don't want it all. Give me a tenth of what you earn, and I will bless you. And I'll read the scripture. The problem with tithes is if we don't tithe, we rob God. The same thing is about offerings. If I don't give offerings, I rob God. Can I ask you youngsters, if you'll just hand out these sermonites. This is about tithing. I don't want to preach to you about tithing this morning. But if you read this and apply it in your life, you will be blessed. I'm going to carry on preaching, so try not to be too much of a distraction. If I can ask that the families just each take one, and if there's a couple of spares at the end, we'll just leave them at the desk. Malachi 3 verse 8 to 12, we all know this, it talks about tithing. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. We can rob God in two ways, in tithes and in offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithe. Did it say bring some of the tithe into the storehouse? No. It said bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Church, where's the storehouse? The storehouse spiritually is where you get fed. Amen? It's not the SPCA. That is not your storehouse. It's not even Jesse Duplantis minister. I'm just using it because I borrowed some notes from him. It's not. You get fed, yeah. You get looked after, yeah. This is your storehouse. Amen. Oh no, I only made one amen. Well, I'm glad some of you see it that way. This is your storehouse. That there may be food in my house. That there may be food in my house. And try me now, and this says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. It's the only place in the Word of God where we're given permission to test God. Try me in terms of tithes and offerings. See if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing. You see, God's not a stingy God. He says, if you will trust me, I will bless you. When I encourage you to tithe, yes, we need finances to run the church. I can tell you our average monthly budget is 80,000 rand. Okay? And that's when we come in below budget, when we haven't spent everything. But it's not about that. We do need the money for that. But it says, if I will bless you, the congregation, God's people, you release a blessing in your life if you give to God, if you bring the tithe into the storehouse. It says, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. When God blesses us, He blesses us in abundance. Who's battling with lack this morning? Well, don't put up your hand. But if you're battling with lack this morning, maybe there's a problem in your tithing. And I want to tell you, tithe is where it all starts. If you don't get the tithe right, you can do the other three. You can do the other three, and you still won't be blessed, because God is a God of order. You've got to get the first things right. You've got to give out of your income first. Okay. And then here's what we get if we tithe. In verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. Isn't that a phenomenal promise? But you know what? We don't preach about this because we don't want to offend our congregations. Because it looks like the pastor's asking for money for the church. It's true. Okay? But listen here. Deuteronomy, what is the blessings? There's lots of blessings in the Word. Deuteronomy 28, verse 3 to 8. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall be you be in your country. We're worried about our country. Maybe we should start by tithing so that we can be blessed in the country we live in. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, your children, your family, your grandchildren, your nephews and nieces. The produce of your ground. What is the produce of your ground? Church, we're not all farmers. The produce of your work, of your employment. What goes into your bank account at the end of the month, it'll be blessed. And the increase of your herds, your investments. And the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl, your kitchen, your pantry cupboard. Blessed shall you be when you come in and when you go out. I'm blessed in my coming and going. A lot of people don't even want to go out. Why? Because they're scared of crime. Well, if you tithe, you invoke God's blessing on you. It talks about protection. He will rebuke the devourer. The devourer comes to steal from you. When you're trying to draw your money at the ATM and he fools you and they take your money. That's the devourer. When I'm tithing, God protects me. He will send His angel to sort that oak out. I can tell you, I went to draw money the one day at the Pick and Pay near us. I drew my money, it was in my wallet. God walks up to me and says, no man, you must go and push that cancel button. He was convincing, eh? He said, because it hasn't cancelled, the transaction's still open. Go back. He's a big guy. Go back. you are absolutely out of your mind. I'm not stupid. But I nearly fell for it because he was so convincing. I turned around and looked at the machine. And then I thought, oh, okay. And I walked into the shop because I was going to tell the management. And by the time I got gone, three of them. Same shopping center where the guys got shot last week. Very sad. God will protect you. God is with you, give you wisdom. Tithing is a way for prevailing in the bad economy. Because when we start to tithe, we say, forget that. I'm not under the curse of the current world Babylonian economy. I'm under God's economy. God is my provider. God is my source. I'm under His economy. Doesn't matter what this economy does. Doesn't matter what the government does. Doesn't matter what the rain does. God is your provider. Say, God is my provider. When I tithe, I acknowledge that. It's the red tithe's fault. Tithing holds God to His promise to rebuke the devourer for our sake. It's better to have 90% of your income blessed than have 100% of your income cursed. It says you are cursed with a curse. Take the curse off of your income, church. Many of you. No, not many of you. I mustn't say that. We are blessed because we have got faithful tithers in this church. I don't know who tithes, okay. But we are blessed because we've got faithful tithers in this church. But many people have been tempted by the thought, I must reduce my tithe. That's right. When it's not 100%, it's not blessed. Okay? Then you bring a curse on 100% of your income. I'm done with talking about tithes. We cannot place ourselves under the curse Satan wants to put us under. Secondly is first fruits. What is the motivation for first fruits? This hit me in the face like a wet fish. It was actually meant to be funny. I'm trying to lighten this message. Proverbs 3 verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. There are 31 references to first fruits in the Bible. Pastor Pierre preached it to us that time. The penny didn't drop, so I started doing it and I stopped doing it. So I'm guilty. Okay? I stand before you guilty. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase. Honor. That is the motivation of first fruits offerings. We bring honor to God. Why are we honoring Him? We're thanking Him for increase. We are not a people of decrease. We're not a people who get 2% when we should be getting 8% or 10%. But we need to honor God with that. How do I honor Him with the first fruit of my increase? When I get an increase, and I did do this once or twice, I give my increase. That's increase. Interesting, eh? We don't like to hear that. So if I'm earning 1,000 rand and I get a 10% increase, that's 100 rand. In the first month that I get that 100 rand, I take that 100 rand and I give it to God. That's my first fruit offering. I don't take 10% of it. I take 100% of it and I give it to God. Why? I'm honoring God with my increase. Sure, ain't I pain? And you know what? It's actually quite easy. Why? Because you've been managing with your old salary in any case. You might be struggling a bit, but you've managed, haven't you? What is one more month without that additional increase? What difference is it really going to make? I can tell you the difference it'll make if we don't do it is huge. If we do it, is huge. You don't realize how much God will bless you. God is a God of His Word. He says, if you honor me, I will bless you. Amen. So that's the motivation for the first fruit. Now, church, you never thought you had to give a first fruit offering, did you? You thought that was your tithe. No. No. The first fruit is the first fruit of your increase. The tithe is a tithe on your income. It's what I give you every month. Are you with me? Tithing is an act of obedience. First fruits is an act of honor. Who would like to honor God? And by giving that first fruit, we acknowledge that God blessed us with an increase. Does that make sense to you? First fruit shows God that you're not in love with money. Hard words, isn't it? If I'm willing to take of this increase I've waited for all year And say, Lord, it tells God, I'm not in love with money. Because I love to have that money in my bank account. I'd love to use it. Kom ons gaan uit vir 'n lekker ete. Ons het meer geld hierdie maand. Come on, let's celebrate our increase by going out. We should celebrate our increase by giving it to God. And the next month you'll be able to go out, and the month after that, and the month after that. And does that make sense? Can you see the penny? Is it dropping? First fruit shows God that you're not in love with money, you're in love with Him. It's a hard thought, isn't it? Romans 11 verse 16 says this. Isn't that interesting? It's in the New Testament for those of you who say, oh, no, tithing is Old Testament. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. If I get 100 rand increase and I give that first 100 rand to the Lord, it becomes holy. Because what I give to the Lord is holy. That which was in the temple and the tabernacle were holy items. It makes the lump holy. Everything that comes after that first 100 is holy. Now think about this. Church, are you with me? Think about this. If I get an increase this year and I give and it's holy, my increase is holy. Next year when I get an increase, that increase is holy. But also the increase that I got last year is still holy. Are you with me? It becomes exponential. So next year when I get 10% on my 10% that I've had this year, that's an exponential increase, okay? Because I'm getting 10% on my 10%. That's why when you invest money in a money market and you start getting interest on interest, it becomes so powerful and your money grows. All right, I'm done with first fruits. But I want to ask you this question. Are you honoring God with the first fruits of your increase? Or do you love your money too much? Try it. You'll be blessed by the result. The third one is almsgiving, which I spoke about earlier on. And where I really think we need to ask the Lord to challenge us. Almsgiving has a motivation. Its motivation is compassion. If you want to be like Christ, you will be willing to give alms. Jesus fed the 5,000. He had compassion on them. He told the parable of the Good Samaritan. He said, who's your brother? The person who is lying there in the street and needs help. And the priest didn't get it right, and nor did the, what was it, a Pharisee or the teacher of the law. They didn't get it right. The holy people like you and me, they didn't get it right. The despised Samaritan got it right and gave. If you and I are not touched by the need that is we see around us, we do not have compassion. And compassion is a characteristic of Christ. So, now, what does the Word of God say? Almsgiving or charitable deeds is the only giving that is not given to God. Did you know that? It's only giving that's not given to God. I know it's not so exciting, but this will bless you, okay? Stay with me. And it's theory. So, almsgiving is the only giving that's not given to God. All the other giving, when we give, it's to God. But almsgiving is giving to people. God expects us to give to people. Remember in the Old Testament, when they reaped the harvest, they left the edges of the field. For who? The poor. The poor. Matthew 6 verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds, your almsgiving, before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, not if you do it or if you pray about it and God leads you to do it. It says when you do it. Jesus expected that the people would do charitable deeds. When you and I are too hardened to be able to give to the needs that we see around us, we are being disobedient, first of all. We're not doing what Jesus Christ told us. It says, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. So now I go to Cheryl and say, see, I brought this massive food pack for you, for everybody to see. He's a giver. You lose the blessing. You lose the blessing. If you've been giving and your motivation has been for people to see, you've lost the blessing already. Your reward is that they saw you and say, oh, look, that person's generous. But God, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you. He will reward you. And let me tell you, He'll reward you openly. You'll start to prosper. You'll start to be blessed. But not if I'm so tight-fisted that I can't take something out of my pocket. Often in the church, people will come here in the hall and they'll speak to somebody in the church and say, I've got a need. That's the pastor, go and talk to him. I sometimes wonder if the motivation for that is, that's the pastor, and I'm holding onto my wallet in case you might ask me. You can send them to me. You know why? Because you enable me to do something in secret that will give me a blessing. If you want to send your blessing my way, go ahead, do it. Amen? God's given you an opportunity to be blessed. Sure. It's tough, isn't it? Thank you, Peter. I'm encouraged, my brother. Almsgiving or charitable giving must be in secret. Why? Because by doing this, if we don't make it in secret, we lose our reward from the Father. It mustn't be your motivation to get a reward from God. But let me tell you, you can. And I thought about this. You may say, but I just don't have enough. Ek sukkel ook. Ek is ook arm. I want to tell you, in church, I have to finish this message, so now you're stuck with me. I want to tell you, the poorest person in this church has got something to give. The people that we give food packs to have got something to give. You can open that food pack. You can take out of a tin and give it to somebody else. So don't tell me you're too poor to give. Jesus spoke about the widow and her two mites. It's like me coming and putting 10 cents in the offering. Okay? I can come and put 10,000 rand in the offering and make a big scene about it. Look at him, he gives to the church. But somebody here who really goes home, who struggles, who eats bread, and that's it. That's all they got. They come and they put something in the offering. Don't you think Jesus takes notice of that? It might be 10 cents. Or maybe it'd be 5 cents. What's the smallest? It might be 5 cents. God will bless that. And he'll bless it maybe before he blesses my 10,000 rand. Are you with me? But we need to have a heart for that church. And that's why I'm preaching this message. Because I don't think that the penny has dropped. I think we need to ask the Lord to give us a heart for that. No matter how poor or how rich we are, all of us can be a blessing. All of us have got something to give. Amen. And we haven't been doing it. I can tell it from that empty box. I can tell it from the lack of response to the message I sent out. We haven't caught the vision. We haven't caught the vision. Let me tell you, I'm just as guilty. I can't talk about this because I don't want to lose the blessing. I don't put enough in that box. Okay? You may say, I don't have enough. I want to tell you, you do have enough. You can be a blessing. One ton. One rand. I'm out of time. The widow at Zarephath. 1 Kings 17, verse 15 to 16. So she went away. The prophet came and said, please give me something to eat. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and her household ate for many days. You know what she told the prophet? She said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar, and see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I might go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. It was all she had, but she gave it. It was a charitable thing. Okay, she gave it to the man of God, but it was a charitable deed. What did God do? She never ran out. She took out of the little bit she had. So I want to speak to the poor people here. Do you want to stay poor? Stay selfish. Stay eye-focused. And I want to talk to the rich people here too. Do you want to be blessed with God's abundance? Or do you want to carry on just as you are? It's in your hands. Speak to myself too. What is the enemy of generosity? The age-old battle. God being generous, Satan being selfish. Selfishness promotes, protects, and provides for self. Selfishness tries to take God's place in our lives. As followers of Christ, we are called to abandon everything and give all we have to the advancement of God's kingdom. Regarding the issue of money, God is not only testing our hearts to see if we can handle money, he's testing our hearts to see if we can handle true riches. Because when I do not save here, put your investment into the stuff here where money and when moth and rust destroy, but build up treasure in heaven. Proverbs 19:17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what has been given. There's nothing I can give. There's nobody I can help. There's nothing I can do that is going to set me back. Sometimes you've got to just close your eye and say, "Tah, fatum." Because when we give to the poor, we lend to the Lord. The Lord is the debtor of no man. We will get it back. Test him. That's not one of the areas where the Lord says we can test him, but I think you can test him. The final one is offerings, seed giving. And I'm going to wrap up the message. Offerings. Now, I want you to know these different kinds of offerings, okay? The one kind of offerings is tithes and offerings, which I spoke about earlier. It's your normal giving. But a tithe is something that is decreed, and an offering is something that is voluntary. Do you understand the difference? Offering. A lot of people are just giving offerings. You're wondering why you're not blessed? Because you're not tithing. You can give as many offerings as you like. If you're not tithing, no blessing. Okay? Listen. Jesus told us about offerings. Okay, I was telling you about two different kinds of offerings. The one is when I give to the Lord's work, and the other one is when I give a free will offering in various ways, okay? And I'm still not saying giving to SPCA. You can give to SPCA if you want to. If you don't know what to do with all your money. All right, Mark 4, verse 3-9 says this. Listen, behold, the sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on the stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And he said to him, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Church, he who has ears to hear this morning, hear. Seed or offering giving has a motivation. When I plant seed, what is my motivation? Ek wil hê iets moet groei. Okay? I'm looking for a harvest. If I plant a mini seed, I expect a mini plant to come up and to have minis on it. And how many seeds will I find on that mini? It's a multiplication thing. Okay, when you plant seed, you expect multiplication. When you are putting your offering in an offering bowl, you are planting seeds. Church, you need to come with an expectant heart. You've got to say, "Lord, I need a harvest." If I plant 50 cents, I'm going to get 5 rand, or maybe 500 rand. If I plant 20 rand, I might get 200 rand. 30, 60, or 100 fold. If I plant 1,000 rand, I can easily reap 100,000 rand. Okay, that is what it says in the Word. It's a voluntary thing. You know what the problem with seed giving is? We limit ourselves by limiting the amount of seed that we sow. Is jy kwaad vir my vanoggend? I'm preaching the Word of God. Amen. And I'm preaching long. Yes, I am. But I need to teach you. I need to teach you because we are not applying this in our lives. The seed is the best way to stop poverty in your life. How do I multiply supernaturally in God's economy by sowing seeds so that I can reap a harvest 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold? There are people in this church that will stand up and testify over and over and over how they put it to the test and it works. Hallelujah. The Lord doesn't look at how much we give. He's not worried about how much you give. If I give my 50 cents or 5 rand, he will multiply it. I limit myself in my giving. The less I give, the less I will reap. Simple. Okay? Go and plant a seed. Go and plant 2 seeds. See if you reap more by planting 2 seeds than if you reap. I don't have to prove it to you. But the Lord does look at our heart. Luke 21, verse 1-4. And he looked up and he saw the rich putting the gifts into the treasury. And he saw, I've spoken about it already, a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. And so he said, "Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had." Amen. I remember when I was in children's church 40 years ago, my dad would give me 20 cents or 50 cents. What do you think that 50 cents is worth today? 100 rand? Maybe? Maybe more? Maybe 50 rand? So I want to paint this picture to you. How much are you putting in the offering bowl? Does it exceed what you put in when you were in children's church? If you take in inflation. Right. Because it speaks to the attitude of your heart, church. And your willingness to reap a harvest. If I put in little, I will reap little. Hierdie pastoor, hy moet stop nou. Okay. You see, I'm a financial guy too. So these things speak to me. All right. Now, I'm going to wrap up the message with this. And I've spoken and I've alluded to it. Why did Jesus, we often use the parable of the sower to explain how the God's word, you know, some people receive it and some people don't and some people get a harvest. But it talks about planting seeds, so I can apply it to money. All right? If you take your tithe, now listen, this is the most important part of the whole service. If I take my tithe, my tenth, which I give as an attitude of obedience, and I say, I'm going to take a tenth of my tithe and I'm going to give it to the poor. You know what happens? I lose my blessing on my entire tithe. Okay? Because you must bring the whole tithe to the storehouse. Right. So when you say, but I've been giving and my giving's not working, have you been missing? Have you been dividing up your tithe and saying, well, 10% I'll give. I'm comfortable of giving 10%. Okay? But I'm going to give this one here, and I'm going to give that one there, and I'll use the SPCA again. I'll give some to SPCA. I'll give some to Jesse to plant us. Dit werk nie so nie. You must bring your 10% into the storehouse, otherwise you lose the entire blessing. Why? Because the enemy is going to come and eat it. He's the devourer. When I tithe, God says, I will rebuke the devourer. That's his promise. And he says, watch if I won't pour out a blessing that you can't contain. Okay? So I prevent myself from multiplying. Right. If I take the seed and I sow it into the offering plate, okay? So, out of my 10%, I will tithe and I will give my offering in the offering plate. You know what I'm doing? I'm taking my tithe and I'm using it as seed. God can't bless my tithe, but he also won't bless my seed because it was illegitimately gained. Are you with me? You can't take your offering out of your tithe and put it in the offering plate. Because it's a tithe. You must buy it still. And the silence tells me that your eyes are being opened. Amen? In the same way, I can't take out of my offering, okay? I honor God, or my first fruit. Let me say, I can't take my first fruits, okay, and say, I'm going to give that to the poor people in the church, okay? Because number one is I'm not honoring God with it. I'm going to look good in those people's eyes because I'm generous, okay? But now I've taken the first fruit blessing and I've used it for giving alms. God says there's four ways to give to me. The first and the foremost is tithes, but I actually have an expectancy. Jesus said, when you give or you do your charitable deeds, when you do them. Are you with me? The parable of the sower. If I sow my seed on the wrong ground, I will not get the harvest. So if I take my tithe and I sow it in the offering, it's fallen on the rocky ground. If I take my first fruit and I give it to charitable giving, it's fallen on the ground where the nettles and the stuff is going to come up and strangle it. Are you with me, church? You've got to do it right. You've got to do it right. There's four types of offerings. We've got to give them. They've each got a different motivation. You've got to do it right. And if your finances aren't working, maybe that's why. Can I hear an amen? Ek is klaar. You can wake up now. All right. Deuteronomy 1, verse 1. 1 verse 11 says this. May the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are and bless you as he's promised you. I've preached this message, church. Yes, we need you to give into the church. Of course we do. The church can't run without money. But I haven't preached it with that as my motivation. I actually preached it because I felt that we were becoming hard. I'm being honest as a pastor. If I stand here and lie, what's the point? I think we've become hard in a number of these areas. I think we've become hard in giving into offerings. I don't know, Trevor could probably tell you better than me. I think we've become hard in terms of giving to the poor. We've all got plenty, church. But we hold back. That was my motivation. There are four types of giving. Tithe, first fruits, alms or charitable, and seed giving or offerings. We can trust God with our offerings. Sometimes we need to take out our wallet and close our eyes and just... Amen? That's faith. It's faith. I can tell you, I have had to do that more since I became a pastor than what I had to when I was in the corporate life, when I was earning a lot more. Okay? And so, now it's a test every time I do it for me, for my attitude of heart. Sometimes I fail that test. I told you. There's other areas. Sometimes I fail. Stand with me. We need to realize what we need to do and that we need to do each of these in order to get financial breakthrough. There's a correct order. We can't use our tithe for offerings or first fruits for charity. We will mess it up. Remember the parable of the sower. Our wallet reveals the truth of our Christianity. Your wallet will tell you the truth about your relationship with Jesus. That's why the Bible focuses so much on it. It focuses on two main things. Your money and sexual behavior. Really? Those aren't the only things, but it focuses a lot more on those two things than on most other things. Amen? And love, of course. So our wallets reveal our attitude towards God. Let's pray. I want to ask you, and nobody will know, to put up your hand. If you've got financial need, if you want to say to the Lord, Father, I've been getting it wrong and I want to get it right, please bless me. If you're unemployed, if you've been giving and it feels like the giving has been falling on the hard ground, and maybe just there's a curse of the enemy that has been robbing you. Anything like that, any financial need that you have, just put up your hand. I want to know why you're putting up your hands, so it could be for any of those reasons. Just put up your hands. I'm going to pray, Lord, we pray your blessing over our people, over their finances, over their wallets, over their hearts. This message has been a tough message. It challenged me, and I believe it challenged our people. But Father, help us to get our priorities right. Lord, if there's one thing I know, it's that I do not want to be a fake believer. I want to be a servant of God, a child of God, a true follower, a true disciple in every aspect, whether it be my giving, whether it be an act of love, whether it be in my attitude, whether it be in walking with you. I certainly don't want to be a Pharisee, and I know none of our people want to be like that. I don't believe that there's anybody here with an evil intention in terms of their finances. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, as the shepherd in this house, I pray break the curse, break the world economy system hold on their lives, and loose your economy. Loose the blessings, the open floodgates and open heavens. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen.